Yes, I mean, maybe kick off with a little bit about you, like Flow Motion Studio.
Yeah.
What does it mean? Where are you at?
I suppose a good starting point is to look at the issues that I was having. My background in graphic design meant that I'd been sitting for well over 30 years. No one ever told us about ergonomics, about posture, any of that. So gradually, that lifestyle will result in certain issues. And for me, the main ones, which are common, neck, shoulders, and lower back. Those are the three key areas that most people have pain, stiffness, and soreness. So I realized 3 years ago that I had to do something, I had to change the way I worked. And that subsequent research led into the starting up of Flow Motion. So through personal issues.
Mm. Yep. And now you're producing the sit-stand desks, the whole package, actually.
Yeah, and that's taken over 2 years, really, to put together. Because once you start looking at the issues around sit-stand working, you quickly realise that it's not about, I could stand for too long, I could sit for too long. Each hour brings certain issues with them. Each one can be a static, fixed position. So you have to start introducing movement. And once you become aware of that, then that just opens up a whole area that you can start to explore. So for me, awareness was a big part of the journey.
I guess having that initial pain in the neck problem,
yeah,
it's kind of turned into quite an opportunity, really.
Yeah.
So what would you say then has been on that journey, have been some of the moments where you've realised that, yes, this really is an issue for not just yourself, but other people? And when did it become, I don't know, whether it's a passion or a purpose to actually really solve that problem well?
Well, within 6 months, all those issues that I was suffering with had gone. Mm. So my neck pain, the shoulders had gone. All those issues had gone. And that's because I was... the only way I can describe it is really... There's the term active working. Now, that may seem a bit weird. But once you start living and breathing that in a work environment, you realise you've got 7 or 8 hours where each day is an opportunity to actually really feel what your body is doing and, you know, engage with it. So when you're standing, you can move. You can move side to side. You can put the desk up. You can do some stretches. You can be mindful of your breathing. So if you're having a stress day, you can take 2 minutes out and do a breathing exercise. So suddenly, from thinking about it as sit-stand working, it's now become a holistic overview about so many other things. But again, awareness is driving all of those things. You know, and really wanting to change not just the way you're working, but once you've found something of value, why wouldn't you want to share it?
Yeah.
You know, it's just, to me, it just seems like a natural thing. You know, it becomes a passion, and you want to tell people about it. And now when I see people sitting in offices, I'm not joking, I literally want to go up and shake them and say, do you know about this? Do you know that 6 or 7 hours of sitting will put stress on your spine and your hip flexors and your psoas muscles, all these things that I've learned, you know, and how just, even if you haven't got a sit-stand desk, get up every 30 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, walk, do some stretching, do a little bit of exercise and then go back to sitting, but at least you're aware, you know, and you're not just sitting for sitting isn't the problem, it's the amount of sitting that we do.
Yeah.
10 hours is the average.
That is a long time.
And probably more, you know, if you're a millennial or maybe even younger, if you've just grown up with technology.
Yeah.
You know, so you're playing games, you know, watching TV, all of that stuff adds to the pain of, you know, your sitting, the amount of sitting that you're doing.
And do you think then people are, so like we've obviously seen over the last few years, certainly the last 18 months more so, this concept of mindfulness being more more mainstream. Maybe the one for better word. But do you think that's then helped your discussion around sit stand and workplace active workplace?
Definitely. I think some people have to be nudged along that journey. I know for a fact that some of our customers, and I'll name a profession, barristers, for example, we've done quite a lot within the chambers in London. And I had a conversation with a barrister, and I said, what's the longest you've ever sat? She went 14 hours in one stretch. I said, in one go? She went, yes. I was so busy, I couldn't even get up to make myself a cup of tea. Now I was thinking, my God, 14 hours in one go sitting. I couldn't believe it. Now, we set her up with a desk and we gave all the information. I don't know whether she's really going to change that much. She may, we gave all of it. You've got to change every 40 minutes, from sitting to standing, and then you've got to think about your movement and all that. But when you're so busy, I don't know whether you can start to embed that into the way you work. Because, but if you look at it over the long term, what are the consequences of not doing that? Well, for your health and well-being,
exactly,
it's horrendous. In 10 years' time,
I guess that's the choice you make, then, isn't it?
It is a choice. But so to talk about the awareness, for me, has to come from practicing. From practice, and then you get better at it. It's like if you speak to somebody about mindfulness or even meditation, until they. You can't learn that from a bit of paper. You have to practice it.
Yeah.
And for people out there who are familiar with it, and the first thing is pulling back and thinking about what's going on internally, thinking of, and engaging with your breathing. Mm. And that's when you start to think, I'm breathing now. I'm aware of my breathing. I can feel the air going into my abdomen, so I'm not just using my upper chest to breathe. And as soon as you start to relax, that's when you really start to engage with your stress.
Yeah.
And you can actually start to deal with it when you engage with your breathing. And people who do a lot of mindfulness and meditation, that's the starting point. But you have to take a step back and you have to become aware of how you're treating your body, really. You have to become aware.
Because I think that awareness is quite interesting, because there's a certain argument, I guess. Like, I'm thinking the extremes where you've got, some people are afraid of that idea of spirituality, afraid of the idea of, and maybe afraid is the wrong word, but certainly there is a turn off from them kind of topics, spirituality, mindfulness, meditation. Mm-hmm. Those that maybe see those things as are too extreme, that's not me, I don't fit into that category, yet at the same time will be the ones that are trying to be healthy in a different way. Mm-hmm. Maybe that barrister doesn't think twice about sitting down for 14 hours and not having a cup of tea, but on one day might be eating carrot sticks and hummus and drinking lots of water, and actually in her mind, although she's sitting down for 14 hours, she's being healthy because she's doing this, and when she finishes work she'll do a 4-mile run. I guess it is, as you say, finding that balance, but I guess I'm trying to work out, like you say about breathing, you say about almost the skills or the tools that you learn from things like Kwai Bon and Tai Chi, which are really important. But how do you gently start to include that into a...
Well, you have to be aware of the issues. Now, I've had conversations with people where they think sitting is not a problem. So I could show them all the science around sitting. And maybe even then they would still argue that, well, we've been doing this for decades.
Yeah.
Sitting is not a problem. So you haven't got, there's nowhere to go. You've hit a brick wall.
Yeah.
But if people are open to, and we follow the science. We haven't made this stuff up, you know. If you speak to anybody, whether they're a physio, a chiropractor, whatever their specialty is, I think they'll all agree that we're not designed to sit. And we're especially not designed to sit the amount that we sit. So I think our starting point is almost from a position where it's very difficult to argue against it. So if you accept that the amount of sitting we do is a problem, then we can start to have a meaningful conversation, because then I can start to show you some of the science behind it and what happens when you are sitting and what happens to your spine and where you're putting pressure on certain muscles. What we're good at, actually, which we've kind of lost the habit of, is squatting. That is, and there's some lovely exercises, stretching exercises, which involves squatting. And you find that is, it may seem weird, and I'm not suggesting we all go and squat at work, because that's just not going to happen. But if you go to places like India, you know, and Southeast Asia, you'll just see people squatting and having conversations around a fire, or maybe while they're eating or something. So I think it's getting easier because there's just so much more information, and you know, as soon as people hear about Google and companies like that installing sit-stand desks, then that can also provide quite a powerful story to convince them. Oh, if it's good enough for Google, then it's good enough, you know, for me. But it doesn't have to cost a lot of money either. There are things on Amazon, desk risers, that are £25. It gets you standing, same as one of our desks. So I will always give people options, and I'm quite happy to point them in the direction, depending on their budget, and just say, try it.
And
you'll be amazed at the difference it makes. So just try small little steps. Try the sitting and the standing and alternating every 40 minutes. Get a timer, if you've got a smartwatch or something, set it. So you hear that ping, then that pulls you out of what you're doing and gets you to think, you know, you don't then have that conversation and you start to think about it. As soon as you hear that, this is what we do. As soon as the sound goes off, we'll get up. We may do a bit of stretching, do some HIIT training on the bike, 30 seconds. So we really mix up that activity and movement. So, you know, it's covering all of those.
So that's quite important then, as you say, like actually there's the movement rather than just the...
Yes, that's key.
The change in, you know, whatever you're doing. So whether it be sitting, standing or...
Because there's only so much movement you can get when you're sitting.
Yeah.
Okay, there's lots of exercises you can do when you are sitting. Lots of really nice stretches you can do. When you're standing, you can start to get some movement into you. You know, you don't just have to stand there like a robot. And what you don't want is to lock your knees either. You need to have relaxed, loose knees, very relaxed posture. But then you suddenly become aware of how your body's feeling. And you can start to just stretch and do some things. You know, even while you're having a conversation, you can do some of these things. And as soon as you start thinking in that way and embedding it into your 7 or 8 hours, you think how much extra movement you've got over that week. Just from that little thing. So it's... I'm not trying to overcomplicate any of this stuff.
I mean, you mentioned like at all 30 seconds on the bike.
Yeah.
Like, what? Well, I mean, how important then are those kind of things? Then 30 seconds doesn't seem like...
No, but if you do that 3 or 4 times a day, so what you're doing is you're going... So it's not long enough that you're getting all hot and sweaty, but it's intense enough, and it ties in with Dr. Michael Mosley's research on HIIT training. High intensity. So you do short bursts, you get your heart rate up, and then you suddenly start to get all that oxygenated blood going around your body, you know. And it has a knock-on effect as well, because even when you go back to resting, all those things are still providing value, you know, internally, things are still happening. And also, I think if you're feeling sluggish, you suddenly can do the 30 seconds. If you do that 3 or 4 times a day and you look at that over the course of, again, a week and a month, you know, that's just adding so much.
Yeah.
So many benefits. And there's a lot of science around HIIT training.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there are these trends that people jump on. Yeah, as you say, if it's good enough for Google, then it should be good enough for our business. So, you know, you can use that. But I mean, it's a lot more than just the new fancy thing to do, isn't it? Yeah. We've got a generation coming up which do believe in, you know, businesses with a purpose. They're spending, their behaviours are different. They're, you know, focusing on slightly different things. They want to travel, eat healthy. We've seen the rise in vegetarianism and veganism and plant-based diets, etc. And, you know, it's a completely different lifestyle of somebody working nowadays. Flexible hours, for argument's sake, flexible living, flexible working. I mean, how do you... We're good, thank you. we've seen a completely different change in, I guess, what employee, human. So how do you... I somewhat lost my train of thought here, but how do you...
I think there are certain issues with that generation which revolve around how they use their phones. Now, if they haven't started work yet, then and are working, you know, where they're in a workplace and sitting is the norm, they're bringing lots of other issues with them. So let's take the workplace out of it for a moment. If you're on your phone and you speak to somebody who knows a lot about ergonomics, they'll say that the whole usage is people aren't aware of the issues around mobile phones.
Yep.
And as soon as we are looking down at something, there's a sort of out of alignment with our bodies. So heads are quite heavy. And when you're looking down, you can suddenly feel that what is holding up your neck, where's all, suddenly you start, you can, I can just by doing that, I can suddenly start to feel the back of my neck taking some of the strain off that of my head. So if you imagine, I just see people every day walking around, walking while they're on their phone.
Yeah.
Yeah. Or in a caf or at home, or, you know. So it's always. So I think that's building up a lot of problems. It's not one that I'm familiar with, but I know a lot of people who are talking about these issues. They inhabit that space, and they're saying that the younger generation now are bringing separate issues with them. Because of the amount of time that they spend on the tablets and their phone. So again, it's about learning what the issues are and becoming aware of it, and then just seeing what you can do in your own small way. You know,
I guess these things aren't gimmicks, are they? You know,
I don't think there's anything. We've been going for 3 years, so we're quite new to this. There are companies who have been involved in the whole sit stand for over 15 years, and in Scandinavian Denmark, it's almost part of their health and well-being. You know, they're probably 10 years ahead of us, I'd say. And maybe, I don't know what the facts are because it's very difficult to get hold of them, but maybe in this country, sits down working may account for 2-3%. So the majority of people go to work if they're in an office, and they will sit. And going to the gym after is great, but that doesn't counteract those 5-6 hours of sitting.
So what would you say then with, you know, people from startups where they're one-man band, you know, say I'm in my bedroom or, you know, converted garage, all the way up to your big employers, 10, 20,000 people.
Yeah.
It comes down to individuals at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. What can people do then to balance out?
Well, I think if you're working from home, then you've got control of your environment, so it's quite easy. Go on Amazon, type in desk riser, and buy a bamboo desk riser that clicks together, and then you've got your two levels. You've got your space for your keyboard, and then you've got your ledge for your monitor. That's, I would say go and do that.
Yeah, it's as simple as.
It's as simple as that. Yeah. And then you're, I would look at the chair, you know, yeah. that's quite important. Get a good ergonomic office chair. And I think that's an area that is often overlooked.
Yeah.
A really good supportive chair. If you can afford it, get something that also goes up and down, so you've got that other position of perching.
Yep.
And there are lots of stools out there on the market. So suddenly, from sitting, you're now sitting, perching, and standing.
Mm.
And you can start to mix up that. If you're at home, go and work on the sofa for half an hour. There's nothing wrong with mixing up all those different positions at all.
I guess with some of the organisations, you're saying that, you know, when they're... If they've got an environment like Google and they've got bean bags and they've got these, you know, breakout rooms and all that kind of stuff, actually use them.
Yeah. Well, I imagine they're designed for that activity to happen. Mm. And you think that people would start experimenting with these different spaces.
Mm. I mean, like, meetings are the worst, though. You're right. You get stuck in a four-hour meeting.
Standing meetings are brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think... Or walking meetings. People should not be sitting down for hours having meetings.
Yeah.
Really, that's an easy thing to, you know. I think walking meetings are great. Okay, you know, if there's 10 of you, a bit more difficult. But standing meetings, definitely you can have. And they're much quicker.
Yeah.
They're a lot quicker.
Yeah.
You know, and people are more engaged. They just seem to be more alert.
Yeah.
And they just want to get it over with. Maybe they want to go back to their sitting again. I don't know, but...
Yeah.
I know some companies. When you're looking at Google, you hope that it's just not... You just hope that they're not just jumping on a trend, because alongside fitting these desks, you have to give people the information as well as to the why. You know, so it can't always be... You hope these companies involve their staff in some sort of discussion, because... Mm. Top down, you try and impose these things. It never works. You have to bring them with you.
I guess it's that point of purpose again, as you say, you know, link back to where you started with in terms of, you know, the reason you kicked off the whole journey you went on was because you found, you know, there was discomfort, you wanted to solve that, and it turned into something. And actually, where people in these large organisations they recognise the discomfort, but they don't recognize their ability to solve it, so they're just going with whatever the company provides. Mm-hmm. Actually, it is, I think, as we say, it shouldn't be a gimmick. It should be something that actually there is a clear, definitive purpose, reason, benefit. And actually, from what you've said, it doesn't seem like it's too difficult to adjust.
No, I think whatever budget you have, there's something. I know people who use cardboard boxes.
Yeah,
they literally have got two cardboard boxes, and that's what they do.
Yeah,
you know, okay, you have to keep getting, you know, new ones every couple of weeks, but that's the cheapest thing you can do.
Yeah, definitely.
Just go and get two boxes at the right height. Make sure you've got all the ergonomics working with the angles and eye line with the top of your monitor. All that stuff is out there. It's easy to find.
Yeah.
But there are some companies who are doing really amazing stuff in this area, where if you join the company, you sign up to a philosophy of activity. And at lunchtime, they don't want anyone sitting at their desk having their lunch. They want people to go out, go for a walk. You know, a brisk 10-minute walk is, you know, again, try and get your heart rate up. All these little initiatives are brilliant. And if you get people around you supporting each other, then I think that's a really nice thing that can happen in a workspace.
So what do you think then what does the workplace of the future look like?
For me, I think it's going to be designed around spaces that are appropriate for whatever you're doing. So if you want some quiet time, to supposing you have to put together, I don't know, a 20-page essay, then you can go and lock yourself in this little pod, and that is no sound. You can just go and thinking time. And you can see this already happening. I'm not just saying anything that's new. So you've got these breakout areas, which are again happening, where you can go and have a little meeting. you've got these private pods where you can go and do some, you know, deep thinking, where you can get away from the sound and the clutter. Open plan spaces have got a lot of, there are a lot of issues around open plan spaces, and noise is one of the biggest. So there's all sorts of amazing acoustics now coming in. So you can really control the sound. And that with acoustics, it's about sound absorption and sound reflecting, and you know, it's a art in itself. And there are specialists who do that. You know, they will come and look at all the acoustics in your office, even down to, I've seen desktops now where they've got cork underneath. So you get a lot of sound bouncing off the floor. Well, it sort of gets absorbed by the cork, which is underneath your desk. So that's a new thing that I've not seen before. I think boardrooms, again, we just touched on that, where people are encouraged to have agile meetings, you know, standing meetings, walking meetings. Plants for me is a big thing.
Yeah.
Bringing the outdoors in, biophilic design. So plants, the sound of water, natural light, the use of colour. And I think quite a clever thing is where you've got a light, and that you've got the ability to change the colour on a wall. So maybe you're in a sales environment and you want people, you know, running the ground hard as soon as they come in. So you might want that red. You know, that's really got them fired up and they're going to make 10 calls.
Yeah.
And then slowly throughout the day, that may change to a green or a blue. So as they're getting ready to go home, it's quite a nice soft cut colour, preparing them to leave the office. So, you know, that's a whole area again. Colour therapy is amazing. And as a designer, I'm really fascinated by how colour affects us. You know, even down to what clothes people choose to wear that day. So there's so much fun to be had in a workspace, but people need to just think out the box and be a little bit more creative and almost have that conversation. If they don't feel that they can, be brave and just say, look, I think we can do something with this grey, dull office that we're all working in for most of our lives. You know, this affects our lives.
Do you think some people or companies are scared?
I think some companies don't give a shit. I've been in too many offices to realise that some companies don't care at all.
Yeah.
And that's quite sad.
It is sad. It's really incredibly sad.
You know, when you're going and, okay, they're paying you and you're getting a holiday and pension and all that, but why not make that space as creative as possible? Right? Why not? It doesn't even have to cost a lot of money. You just need to be willing and open to ideas and creative, you know, and realise that it is important.
Yeah.
I think it's really important.
So to kind of, I guess, wrap it all around, I'm obviously asking this question, what is a healthy lifestyle? And I know and realise that part of that is outside of work as well as inside a traditional working time frame, office space, structure. And part of that challenge, or the challenge around that question, is balance. It is making sure you eat healthily, exercise, etc. There's a physical element to it, and there's a mental element.
Yeah.
But what is your perspective on what a healthy lifestyle actually is?
It's
a big question, I know.
It is a big question, and I hope I've touched on some of those things, because it's all encompassing. It's, are you drinking enough water?
Yeah.
Are you hydrated? Okay. Where's your mental health? You know, are you enjoying your job? If you're not, change it. You know, I suppose it's feeling that you have some sort of power over your life and taking back some of that control. And I've worked for companies. I've had some shit jobs in my life. Some I've stayed too long. Some I've got out. And the excitement for me always happens around change. So I think my viewpoint is life is so short that, one, you have to be enjoying what you're doing. You have to take back and feel that you have some control over what you're doing. And if you don't change it, then we can talk about the whole diet, healthy eating, give up smoking, drinking in moderation, all those things that we kind of know already. Yeah. And then part of that is to get in tune with your body. So start discovering things about your body. Start, you know, doing some breathing exercises. Learned about meditation and mindfulness and stretching. These are all things that will... And it's not really... Somebody said, what I do adds 10 years onto somebody's life. And I said, well, that's great, but I want those 10 years to be really good quality 10 years. Otherwise, what's the point?
Yeah.
You know, there's no point if I'm going to live to be 100 if those last 20 years I'm in a bed and I can't move. What is the point?
Yeah.
So the quality of life is there. So I think it's a big question, and it does cover a lot of things, but I think you just have to just do little, you know, take steps one by one and just start adding to things, you know, building on that. And if you don't know what the issues are, just Google it. Just find out, you know, find out what a healthy lifestyle is and what people are doing. I try to stay away from the latest fads because I really don't think what we're promoting, active working, is a fad. I think it's going to be, I think it's the future.
Definitely.
And I think more and more, as people become more aware of the issues, you know, if I had staff, it doesn't matter how big the company, I would start to embed all of this into the workplace, because the science and the research is there showing, in terms of return on investment, showing higher levels of engagement, productivity, all stem from having a workforce that feels better and healthier, not just physically but also mentally. And I think leaders need to own this, and not think that it's not important, because if you've got staff, then they are the most important thing in your business.
And I guess
you
it is
look after them.
That leading from the front.
Yeah.
Because I guess it's easy to preach these kind of things, but if you're the leader that is working a 22-hour day, sat at your desk,
yeah,
you know, you've actually got to own what you say.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, you made some cracking points. I've loved the journey, and I do admire what you do, and I think it is important. I do think, you know, the active workplace as part of that whole bigger picture. Mm-hmm. It's only going to increase. I genuinely do believe that. I think we'll see, not just out of the need of a business, but also about the lifestyle choice of consumers and people that want a different working experience, different life experience. I see we will naturally progress to see more of these things used. And you know, I think you're at the cusp of it, which, as you say, the wraparound, I think, is important as well.
Yeah, it's been a learning curve, and I'm a lot of what I'm talking about has just come through personal experience, and just stuff that I've learned and stuff that I think is important. We didn't start off you've been to our space, you've seen what we've tried to do with art. I didn't even mention art, you know, we've got a whole wall just full of art.
I mean, your office is one of the coolest offices going.
Thank you. You know, the plants, the colour, the acoustics that we're bringing in. You know, we've tried to, I wouldn't say shoehorn, but we've tried to design, and it is quite a small space, but just to show what can be done. In a relatively small space. So if you've got a large space, I mean, it could look incredible. And I'd love to have a go.
Yeah.
If anyone's out there, get in touch. I would love to design your space for free. I think it's exciting. It's what I'm passionate about.
Yeah.
And I think, What's the alternative? You go into work, you sit down for 7 hours, you're in a grey office.
Yeah.
There's nothing in that office that inspires you on any level. You know, you've got horrible lighting, no natural light. I mean, what's you contrast that to what I've just described? It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, definitely.
And money should not be a part of play a part in that, because, as I said, these things don't have to cost a lot. You know, what does it cost to fill an office full of plants? Everyone brings in one a week or something. Before you know it, you're going to be, well, just that alone is going to turn that into something quite special.
That's a neat idea. I like that.
Ah.
Well, honestly, Floyd, it's been awesome.
Thank
I love
you.
It. We'll finish it up there. But
yeah, thank you.
I recommend anyone come and speak to you, and if not, see your office or at least see it get its standards.
I promise you, we won't try and sell you anything.
But definitely buy a sit-stand desk.
Come and have a look. I'm always up for a chat, and I just want to show people what can be done. You know, just to show them a different way of looking at things, and what a little bit of creativity can do. Mm. And then, you know, people will run with it, because I think if you own your own company and you start to get your workers involved in that conversation, I think you'll be amazed at what can come out of that. You know, that sort of collaboration. I don't think any of this should be forced on people. I think they need to be part of that conversation and get involved in that design process, you know, because they are the ones working in that space. You know, so they can drive some of that change, and it shouldn't be, none of what I'm talking about should be, you know, forced on people. They should own that that process. Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you, Floyd.
Thank you.
Appreciate it.